Vic and our pastor, Brother Chip.
From the yesteryears. I love that song. I was singing with you. You needed it? Oh, I love that song. It's good to have visitors with us as always. And some of you are not visitors. You're just home folk from a long time ago. And it's good to have you back. Now, let's find ourselves here. Amen? How many are happy in Jesus? Okay, they're telling me I didn't turn on my microphone. And you know what? It says I didn't turn it on. Now it says it's on. Is it on? How many think I even need it? No. Okay. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4. I want to read a couple of scriptures. Then I'm going to let you sit down. And then I'm just going to go back to reading again. Okay? How many's up for that? I hope so, because that's what we're going to do. Acts chapter 4 verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Let's pray. Lord, now open our hearts. Give us clearness of thought. Give us clearness of speech, Lord. Let He, the Holy Spirit, work in our midst tonight. Fight the deeds of Satan. Lord, let us learn something from Your Word that we can share with others and use in our daily life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a seat. Now we're back in Acts chapter 4. Now we're in verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathens rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which have possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. As we look at this tonight, I want to explain what has just happened. Now, over, and again, let me remind you what we're studying. We're studying prayer. You said, well, what's this have to do with prayer? Well, the first study we studied was proper prayer. Amen? How many remember? Okay, are you praying properly? Okay. Number two, we looked at the importance of private prayer. Amen? How many remember that? How important is private prayer? Very. Amen? I mean, that declares the way you're going to walk. That declares the way you're going to behave. And that declares the way you're going to think. Is that private time of prayer you have with your Heavenly Father. Nothing can substitute that time of prayer. Amen? And now tonight, we want to look at the power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. You know, in the book of James, the Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But can you imagine getting everybody all together on the same prayer plane and actually coming together with our hearts united in prayer to a God that answers our prayers according to His will. There's nothing that a praying church can't do if they pray together. Amen? So what happened is over in chapter 3, we see Peter and John go to the temple to pray during the hour of prayer. It all starts with prayer. Amen? This whole story starts with prayer. And on the way, they got to the gate, which is called Beautiful. And there was a man, we know the story, I preached on it just recently, of a man laying there lame, and he was lame from the mother's womb. Amen? And we see that Peter and John, they stop, and the man looks up at him to suppose he's going to receive something from these two men of a coin or something. And Peter looked down at him and said, "Now, silver and gold have I none." Sounds like us tonight, amen? Silver and gold have we none. I got looking. Usually by Sunday night, I put my last dollar in the deal. But look, I still have a dollar. We're going out to eat tonight, Cheryl. Woo! Got a dollar. We're going to the dollar menu, amen? You get a bite, I get a bite. You get a bite, I get a bite. You can tell we don't do that, amen? But when he stopped, he said, "Now I don't have money that I'm going to give you." You know, there's something that we can give people that's a lot better than money, amen? You give somebody money, it's going to be gone tomorrow. You give somebody bread, it's going to be gone tomorrow. You give somebody any kind of substance whatsoever, it'll be gone tomorrow. But when you give them Jesus, it lasts forever. Amen? And so, man, he grabbed a hold of his right hand. And the Word of God was very specific. He said he grabbed him by the right hand. And he lifted him up. And immediately, the man began to walk, jump, and leap. Now, these healers we have today, they get these people and say they heal them, and they don't get up and walk. I mean, they're like this, you know. Like a new little kid learning to walk. Boy, when Jesus did something, it was like they've been doing it for all their life. Amen? Well, how did he get his balance? God healed him. Amen? And so we see that he was healed, and they go on into the temple to pray, and as the people looked, they said, "Oh my. Isn't that guy we walked by for 27 years? Is he the same guy, 37, however old he is? Isn't he the same guy?" Well, yes. Well, look at him. What happened? What happened? Well, we know what happened, don't we? And so they started looking. Well, Peter took the opportunity. And man, anytime you have the opportunity to share Christ, get after it. Amen? I don't care where you're at. If somebody drops the name Jesus, that's an opportunity. Amen? If someone says something church, he said, they were talking about John Church. That was his name. I don't care. That gives you a chance to talk to somebody about Jesus. Amen? I mean, a dumb old wooden piece of wood right here gives you an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Amen? I like doing that every now and then. Rick, you got you another one, don't you? Huh? Okay, well, Sharon got it there. No, Brother Rick did. There you go. Gives you a chance to talk about Jesus. That's what this life's about. It's talking about the loving Savior that we have to tell people about Jesus. And so that's what they did. Well, you get into chapter 4, and we see now here comes the priest and the captain of the temple. And here comes the Sadducees. Poor Sadducees. They're so sad, aren't they, Alicia? They're so sad. Nancy, the Sadducees are sad. You know why they're sad? They don't believe in the resurrection, so they're sad, you see? Amen? That would make me sad. Because Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen? Yeah. And they go and they start hearing all this noise and stuff like that. And Peter preaching boldly. My friends, we have a message to preach, and we don't have to be sorry for that message. Now, this old world is trying to tell us, hey, you need to hush your mouth up a little bit. That's not politically correct, not PC, but it is PC. It's proper with Christ, amen? Amen? I don't care what this world has been wrong from the beginning. It started when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And they haven't been right since. And I tell you what, they're not going to get right until they start chasing after God again, amen? And that's what God wants. And so here comes the leaders, and the leaders say, oh, man, no. You see, these leaders thought they already got rid of Christ. Man, they hung Him on the cross. They buried Him, and somebody came and stole His body away. Isn't that what they said? They even paid people, the guards, to say, well, they came and stole Him away while we're asleep. Isn't that right? So now what are you going to do? Here we are, two of Christ's followers. They walked with Jesus through His ministry. They were personally called by Christ for a job. My friends, when God calls us out of the world, He's called us for a purpose. He's called us for a living testimony before people. That's why the book of Romans chapter 12 says we are a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Amen? Just something that we should do. And so we see that bless their heart. They start talking and they're trying to figure out what happened. Well, verse 4, chapter 4 says that as they begin to preach and they heard the word, they believed. So Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is true. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's still true there. And it came to pass on that as they heard the word, they believed. And the number of men was about 5,000 people getting saved. Let me tell you something. There's not one person that's going to get saved without the word of God. You say, well, that couldn't happen today. We still serve the same God. Can you imagine how much Enid would change if 5,000 people at one time would let Jesus come into their heart for real? Can you imagine what kind of effect it would have on our community? Amen? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let me ask you something. What kind of effect did it have on you in your life when you let Jesus come into your heart? This morning, before church, I was heading back to my office, and a guy that's been attending our church said, Terry, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay, what's wrong? He says, I need to talk to you after church. I said, fine. I get somebody to take the guy home that I bring to church in the morning time. I said, what do you want to talk about? He says, I want to talk about being saved. I want to get saved today. But he said, I just can't walk the aisle. I said, that's fine, buddy. Well, I was hoping he would anyway, so I left the invitation open and stuff. I went out and said all my hellos and goodbyes, get all my bear hugs, amen. And I walked back there to my office. He says, I'm ready. And old brother Marvin Carpenter, we were there, weren't we, brother? You was at a birth last night, and you was at another birth today, amen? One was his granddaughter, today was his old buddy that got saved, amen? How do you beat a weekend like that? Man. And boy, we went back to this old conference room, opened up the Word of God, and I said, I don't care what mankind says. All that matters is God. And we told him the scriptures and asked, do you understand? Yes, I understand. Now, what are you going to do with it? He says, I want to get saved. Amen. That's what the Word does. I'd watch while I'm preaching, and he'd be back there sweating bullets on Sunday mornings. Amen. Man, he was sweating bullets. And I kept telling Sherilyn, I said, Sherilyn, that man's going to get saved real soon. And I said, I asked him after he got saved, how long has the Holy Spirit been working on you? He says, for a while. And I said, I know it. I've been praying for you. Now I've got a new brother in Jesus. His name is John Briggs. And I'm thankful I got a new brother. Amen? Amen. So we see that this was what was happening. And he said, well, I thought he was talking about a praying church. We're getting there. Just hang on just a minute, okay? Right where we're going, we won't ever get done. I know that. And so we see that this happens, and the people around says, well, this is the Christ that was promised from the Old Testament. We know. The others are saying, no, it can't be Christ. If he did, he would be doing more miracles. Can't ever please anybody, amen. You just can't make anybody happy. The other one said, it can't be Christ, because can anything good come out of Galilee? Jesus. Amen. If they would just go back to Micah, Micah said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Amen. Isn't that funny? That's where he was born. The Word of God is always right. Mankind is always wrong. And so we see that they just didn't know what to do with him. What are we going to do with this? This man's being healed. They said, man, we cannot deny the fact. Let's read in chapter 4, verse 14. He said this. And the Bible says that in verse 13 that they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned men. In other words, they had sat under the studies of the Word of God with their scribes and with their teachers. They were unlearned. But yet they knew so much about the Word of God. You see? And he says, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Boy, when people say stuff about us, I want to say, hey, I don't know what you're looking at, Jack. I'm doing a little sigh here. Amen. I just don't have the long, ungodly hair and the beard. But I don't know what you're looking at, Jack. But what I see is happening around here. God's here. Amen. He shows himself here, Jack. Amen. Cracker Jack, too. Okay. Applejack. Okay. And so they could not deny it. And he said in verse 15, and when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Praise God. Sometimes he even shuts the devils down. Amen. He even shuts the devils. Brother Terry, how do you know that we're doing things wrong, right, and not doing things wrong? Look around, my friends. Look at your life. Are you serving God? Are you happier than you've ever been in your life? Is God using you and blessing you? My friends, God shows signs of when things are right. You say, but oh, the devil can get their crowds and the devil can get their multitudes. But that's what they have, is crowds and multitudes. Man, we have the spirit of unity in this church. Amen. We have the spirit of love. We have the spirit of growth. We have the spirit of desire, you see. That's what it is. Man, we see it in our lives. We see it in each other's lives. And we praise God for it. Well, what do you do when all this happens? They took the men out. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I tell you something. Trying to stop God is like trying to stop a locomotive that's running full throttle. You're just not going to do it? Well, I'll put a car out there. You go put a car out there, and that locomotive's going to carry that car down a mile before it even thinks about even having something on it. Amen? Man, God is all powerful. Have we forgotten God is all powerful? Have we forgotten He's a sovereign God? He's an almighty God. He's the God of the universe. And by the way, He's my God. Amen. Oh boy, I love saying that. I love saying that. He's my Father. That old stinking devil's not my Father anymore. How many's happy to say that? Amen. And so what do you do? Well, you threaten him. In verse 17, he says this, but that it spread, they said, what, we can't let it spread any further. Let me tell you something, it's like an old fire out in California. Once they get the winds behind it, you're not going to contain it, my friends. It's going to burn, amen? You and I get together and we put our hearts united together to see people saved. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit's in it, the Father's in it, the Lord Jesus Christ is in it, and there's no stopping. It's a fire. History has taught us that every time they try to stamp out the Christians, it was like they were stomping on the fire. It just threw embers everywhere, and everywhere the embers landed, there was another big fire started. And it wasn't this feeling Holy Ghost. It was a filling Holy Ghost. Amen? It wasn't this emotional, weird Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost is my guide. He's my teacher. He's going to lead me in paths of righteousness. Amen? I tell you what, preachers are afraid to talk about the Holy Ghost. Somebody thinks they're Pentecostal. No, the Holy Ghost was long before Pentecostals. Amen? Or some of these other things that blow things out of the water wrong. Then he said this. He said, what we'll do, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Say what? That's what the world's trying to do to us today. That's what America and their laws are trying to do to us today. When you speak Jesus, you're going to offend. But you can speak Muhammad and not offend. I want to tell you something. That offends me. How many does that offend? Oh, that offends me. Don't tell me they can go into the school and sing their little Christmas songs about Muhammad and we can't in our schools sing some Christmas songs about Jesus. Don't tell me that. That offends me. This little deal, and take it that I'm not for the Robertsons. I'm not. It's a show. It's a dumb show. That's why I like it, because I'm dumb and I understand it. But you know, they got on old Daddy. Old Daddy Phil for saying something that he believed. And they kicked him off. Well, they thought they kicked him off the show. And old Willie, which, poor old Willie. Willie won't go home. Amen? But you can't make Willie go because Willie won't go. Well, anyway, you got to be our age to understand that. Isn't that right, Brother Mike? That was as clear as a bell. But here's the deal. People wrote in and said, well, you're offending me because you're offended by him. And they came back and said, we're so sorry because we didn't understand. We are offending so many people. Oh, really? Amen? Really? If they can be offended, so can I. You say, Brother Terry, does that really offend you? I don't care because I know what God's Word says. Amen? And they've been doing that for years. Ask Sodom and Gomorrah. It's been going on for years. No. Well, yes, it does offend me, but I'm not going to let that offense destroy me. I look at people who need Jesus. Amen? Okay, here we go. Now we're coming to the praying church. Here we go. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He says, now, what would God think? Should I hearken unto you, or does God want us to hearken unto him? In other words, does God want me to listen to you, or does God want me to listen to him? Here comes the old story. Render the things that are Caesar, Caesar's, and the things to God that is God. That's right. The word going out is render things to God. Amen? He says this, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Tonight, I cannot speak anything but the things that I've seen and what I've heard. Seen in the Word of God and heard from preachers and teachers that stood before me from the Word of God. That's all I can tell you. The story hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. And if you want to get back to the Old Testament, the story hasn't changed in over 6,000 years. Amen? It just hasn't changed. So he says, well, you go figure that one out. And when they had further threatened them, Let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And the man was above 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing was showed. He said, man, we can't do anything, but let's threaten them. I wonder how many of us tonight, now come on, let's get real here. I wonder how many of us tonight, if we were taken in pairs and to a judge, and the judge sitting there threatening us about speaking the things of God, I wonder how many of us would cower down and say, well, I wanted to talk about Jesus, but the judge said I couldn't, so therefore I'll just go home and pray. I wonder how many Christians today would be that way. Probably far too many. I wonder how many Christians say, Judge, bless your heart. You sure are cute sitting up there in your little black robe. I like your little old gavel that you have. Keek, keek. But you know what? I obey a higher power. You see, the reason why you are where you're at right now is because God allowed it to be. Amen? So, with no disrespect to you or your position, I'd rather obey God than you. Well, we're going to come and arrest you. Well, you might as well just follow me, because right outside the door, I'm going to do the same thing. I had a cop do that to me. We had a little pickup truck, a little one-bench pickup truck. And we was coming across old Guyman. How many know that Guyman? God-forsaken land, I tell you. But there's a good church out there. And there's souls out there that need to be saved. And man, it was the heat of the day, and we're trying to make it home from Colorado. And we were all in that front seat of the pickup. And I had a camper on the back, and we had windows that went through. And this highway patrolman stopped me and said, you're breaking the law. I know. Because I had four in that front seat and three seat belts. I said, but I got the two boys, they were little, in the same seat belt. They're belted up. You can't do that. Well, I can and I did. Amen. He says, I'm going to write you a ticket. I said, fine. Went back to his car. I started talking to him about the Lord. He says, do you know Pastor such and such? I said, never met him. Well, he's there in Enid. I said, well, have him come to church one of these days. Amen. Because I'm sure they don't have Sunday night services or Wednesday night. Amen. Do churches still have that? Church does. Here's what happened. I said, now, sir, I want to tell you something right now. It was 114 out there. I said, that's an old tin box. And I said, I want you to do something for me. You decide which of my little babies you want me to put in the box back there. You tell me which one, and I'll do it. He said, oh, I can't do that. I said, you better follow me, sir, because as soon as I get in this car, I'm going to put it in drive, and the kids are going to stay in the air conditioning until we get done. And they rode throughout all of Colorado in the back box because it was cooler. He said, sir, you got to do what you got to do. And I said, that's what I got to do. But if you feel this way, why are you giving me a ticket? Amen? And people wonder why they have trouble with law enforcement. Because they don't make sense. Amen? And I know some of you would love to do that to me just right then. But what happened? Here's what happened. He said, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had to say. After being released, Peter and John went back to church. I love coming to church. Do you love coming to church? Come on now. If you're saved, you ought to love coming to church. Man, that's one of the signs of I belong to Jesus now. That you love coming to church. Now, these buildings aren't church. They're church buildings. And we have beautiful church buildings. But I love coming to church. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love being around them. I love the strength I get from being around them. I could have a hard day, and everybody else had a great day. Before I leave this place, you know what? My day wasn't so hard no more. Amen? I could go through some problems. Some child of God says, I see something's wrong with you. Let's just stop and pray for a second. Ask God to be with you. And boy, that prayer goes up. Remember that song? The prayers go up. Huh? What comes down? And the blessings will come down. The prayers go up and the blessings will come down. Amen? And I love that. Our prayers go up to God. It doesn't sit on a shelf because God's pouring it back down in blessings. How many's been blessed this week? I want to tell you something, my friend. I got blessed today. I truly did. So they reported all that happened. Well, let's look at some traits of the church. What are some traits found in a praying church? Now, you say, well, it's almost time to quit. I know. We're not going to finish tonight. But you have to set the base so we know what we're talking about. Number one, a praying church recognizes the supreme importance of prayer. Do we understand and recognize the supreme importance of prayer in this church? Do we understand that prayer is important in this place? Amen? When Peter and John left Brother Kelly, they went to the temple in the hour of what? Prayer. It has always been important as a group to come together in prayer. When Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, that isn't to have church. He was talking about what? Prayer. If you say, well, I'll just get out on a fish bank with some other brothers and sisters in Christ and God is there. Well, I hate to tell you this. He wasn't talking about church. He was talking about prayer. Amen? And we've already had illustrations on that. God doesn't want us at the fishing bank fishing when we're supposed to be in church. He told His disciples, go and wait for me. When I get there, we'll have church. Well, He didn't say church, but He said, wait on me. Amen. But anytime Jesus came on, it was church. Amen. Well, they decided to go fishing. Was Jesus happy about it? No. They caught nothing. They didn't learn. He said, okay, let me show you. I'm still in control. Throw your net on the other side. Oh, but we fished all night. Okay, bless your heart. You still haven't learned. Listen to me, I'm God! Amen. I said, throw the net on the other side. They did, and guess what? They had to drag the net in. Peter came, jumped out of the boat again. This is his second time he jumped out of the boat. Amen. He came, and he swam about 100 yards, and he came up. And you know what was waiting on them when they hit the shores? Fish on the fire. They had plenty there for them, but now they have to clean all those stinking fish they drug in. Amen. The important part was being around Christ. Being around Christ's people. That's what's important, you see. You say, but if we look at the fish as the lost souls, we want to bring them into God's house. Amen. We want to do that. But we bring them into the house of God. That's what we want. So the praying church recognizes the supreme importance of prayer, which brings a spontaneous desire for prayer. Let's look at this verse again. And he said this, and when they heard that, what did they hear? The whole story I just told you tonight. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Let me tell you something. Spontaneously, there became a prayer meeting in that group that night. That church. It wasn't planned. They didn't say, oh, now it's time to pray. Well, we've already sang. We've already had the announcements.
We haven't taken the offering yet, but you know, we always pray before we take the offering. And no. They heard that story, and Brother Mike, prayer started being offered up. It was spontaneous. How many has just gone down the road and sensed the need to pray and just started praying? Come on now. You say, man, I don't know what's bad, but I know I need to pray right now. And maybe it's for somebody that you love. They pop in your head and you think, oh my, why did God do that? Lord, please be with such and such. I don't know why they popped in my head, but I feel as though that I need to pray for them right now. How many's ever sensed that before? If you haven't, get closer to God. You ask my wife. She's down here. She's an organist tonight. There have been times I've got up in the middle of the night, put on clothes, and I said, I don't know, something's wrong. And I'll come running over here to the church, or I'll go by a member's house just to make sure an ambulance isn't there or something like that. I just sense the urgency about something. And boy, all the time I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And maybe come to church and say, boy, I tell you what, Monday night I was having some struggles in my life. And well, praise God, Monday night I said a word of prayer for you. It's spontaneous. Well, I prayed for everybody before I went to bed. Hey, there's sometimes we just need to stop and pray. Amen. I know you guys get very spontaneous when you're speeding and you go by a cop. Oh, Lord, please help him not to have the radar on. Oh, God, I promise you the money that I would have to spend on that ticket, I'll give to you Sunday morning. You like those kind of spontaneous prayers, don't you? We got a police officer in our church tonight. It's funny to watch people when you got the radar on them. They go, after the church heard the report of Peter and John, they just prayed. They all felt that prayer was the fundamental thing that needed to be done. It was fundamental. It was the basis of things, not supplemental, something you just throw in there on the side. You say, well, supplements are good. My wife has went out and bought me a lot of vitamins. The vitamins all say heart on it. Because she says, I have no heart. No, that's not what she says. She says, I have a bad heart. Of course, she's a doctor and she knows all this stuff. She's also a meteorologist. She knows all that too. You know what? If I had a choice between supplemental vitamins and the real thing through the food, guess which one I'm going to pick? Huh? I like the fundamentals, don't you? They felt that it was fundamental to pray, not supplemental. Not something to do just to do. I'm almost done for this evening. Aren't you glad? Reverend Dixon said this. He's a preacher from the old days back east. It's no wonder that the world does not believe God is a living God or able to answer prayers. When the saved have little appreciation of the importance of prayer or have little desire of the place of prayer. My friends, this church, they believed that they were praying to a living God. You know why? Because they were. They believed that the place of prayer was important in their congregation. My friends, whether you believe it or not, the place of prayer is vital for us that are members of this local New Testament church. The lost will be saved when we come to that place. Those outside of Jesus in relationship, I'm talking about that belong to Christ, but have walked away from His ways to their own ways, as the prodigals. They've got to see that this place is a place of prayer, praying to a living God, and has a place for prayer. Can you ever get them back? For with God, nothing is impossible. What about those old hard codgers that seem so hard? And when I say codger, I just don't mean men. There are ladies that are hard. There are children that are hard. I say this speaking with much confidence in this. Can it happen when it begins fundamentally with prayer and then with action? For with God, nothing is impossible. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed.